Amen. We certainly need to be in prayer for our missionaries and those who are serving in our armed forces. Praying, like we said, praying for our kids today as they go back to school, teachers, praying for all of these. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And this is the fourth message in the series of messages on the seven miracles from the Gospel of John before the death of Jesus Christ. As we think about the various miracles so far, I want to read again to you in John chapter 20. You turn to John chapter 6. But in John chapter 20 and verse 30 it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book." Talking about the Gospel of John. "But these are written." So these seven miracles are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So John is saying that Jesus performed many miracles that are not recorded in John's Gospel, but these seven are recorded that you might believe and that you might have life. By the way, that's the answer today for the world's ills, is that people would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have life eternal. And He is the all-sufficient Savior. We've studied the other three miracles already, the first of the three. The miracle of in Cana of Galilee when Jesus turned the water into wine. And we've studied these particular miracles. Let's go ahead and read here in John chapter 6 and verse 1. "After these things," so some time has transpired, "Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company come unto Him. He saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, or test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. And Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make them sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13, Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today that You are a God of all sufficiency, that God, You can do anything. We do pray today that as we look at this great miracle, that we would be reminded that You can do a lot more with what we have than we can do with it ourselves. I pray, Lord, that You would just open the truths up to us today, found in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So these miracles performed in order that you might believe and that you might have life eternal. We've studied the miracle of the water into wine, and when Jesus turned the water into wine, and we know that Mary said, whatever He saith, do it. We talked about how that salvation is found His way, the Lord's way, through His Word and His way and no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the second miracle was the nobleman's son who was healed. And he said to the nobleman, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the nobleman had faith. And he believed, and his son was healed, who was at his deathbed. And then lastly, we covered last time the crippled man who was healed there by the pool of Bethesda. And again, I want to just remind you, there at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus had no reason to walk in that direction. Not that we know of. But the Bible says he walked by. And there was crippled people all over, blind and halt and lame. And yet he looked at this one man. And he healed the one man. Can I tell you, that's the grace of God? God's unmerited favor. This man didn't deserve to be healed. He hadn't done anything to be healed. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus tells us that there was a sin that had caused the problem. And yet Jesus healed him. And what a great and loving, gracious God we have and that we serve. Grace means God's unmerited favor, God's unearned favor. That Jesus Christ would take the time to walk by this pool and heal this crippled man was, again, nothing this man did not deserve it. It was the grace of God. And listen, we don't deserve to have salvation today. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve eternal life. But God is gracious. He loved us so much and gave His life for us. What a gracious and merciful God we serve. Today we look at this particular miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle that's mentioned in all four Gospels. Can I just say, if it's the only miracle mentioned in all four Gospels, then there must be pretty important. Pretty important. This is also a miracle, I'll just stick it in here, that a lot of Christians, we have heard this miracle preached on, most of us, many, many times. And probably the most difficult for me to put together in a message because I've heard it many, many times. Why would all the Gospels mention Jesus feeding the 5,000? Well, just a couple of things. One thing is it shows His power. That He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplied them and fed 5,000 people and probably upwards of 15,000 to 20,000 people and maybe more than that because the 5,000 didn't include the women and the children. That shows His power, doesn't it? I mean, I'm talking about His mighty power that He could do that. It shows His all-sufficiency. He is all-sufficient. In other words, He doesn't have to go to anyone else. He can do anything. He is all-sufficient. By the way, He's all-sufficient one in taking care of both the spiritual and physical needs. I think that's a good thing we see here. God was caring. Jesus was caring and compassionate to these people. These people were hungry. And He was very caring and compassionate for their physical and as well as their spiritual needs. Why is it mentioned 4 times? Why is it mentioned all 4 times in the Gospel? Because it shows the power of Jesus Christ. It shows His deity, that He was just as much God as though He'd never been man, just as much man as though He'd never been God. He was the God-man. He was mighty and powerful. He was God in the flesh. I believe all 4 Gospels make that very, very point and very evident of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid aside His glory when He left the portals of heaven, but He did not lay aside His deity. He was still God. Amen? We look here in verse 1 through 4, we see the crowd that gathered around Him. Apparently this crowd followed Him everywhere. Don't think just this one point that they all showed up, but we're talking about a huge crowd here. And Jesus and the disciples had become weary and wearisome of this crowd and Jesus of this crowd. It says that they went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And tells us in another gospel, again, it's mentioned all 4 times, so I'm going to give you all 4 gospels, give us further insight into this particular miracle. So when I give you something that's not found here, it's found in one of the other gospels of just a slot that, because each man saw it from his perspective. Everybody with me? And so it tells us that the disciples were tired, and Jesus had every intention to get apart from the crowd and give them some rest time. But the Bible says in Mark 6 that the crowd, when they saw Him get into the ship, that they followed after Him. In fact, Mark 6 says that they outwent Him. They outwent them. In other words, by the time the disciples got to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and it's just 6 or 8 miles. By the way, the Sea of Galilee is about 40 to 60,000 acre lake. It's not the sea. It's not a salt sea. It's a freshwater lake. I know a little bit about lakes, okay? So Lake Bridgeport is a 10,000-acre lake. Lake Texoma is a 90,000-acre lake. The Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias, the Lake of Gennesaret, whatever the Bible refers to it in several different ways, is about a 40,000-acre lake. That's the size of Lake Tewaukee in East Dallas. All right, Lake Ray Hubbard's bigger than the Sea of Galilee. Everybody with me? I think it's good for us to see, get this in perspective, that when they went to the other side, it may have been 5 or 6 miles as they went on the sea. And the Bible says this crowd, this huge crowd, followed him and outran them. And by the time they got to the other side, the crowd was already there. Outwent them. You say, why would a crowd do that? Because the Bible tells you why. It says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. What was their motivation for following him? Well, it wasn't the spiritual part. Their motivation was the physical. What they could get. What they could have. And I'm telling you, if my mother had cancer and I saw Jesus get into the boat to go to the other side and I saw him go, I think I could take my mother in a cart or whatever and run fast enough to get around there so that my mother could be healed of her cancer. You think they had a little motivation for getting around there? They did. Because of what he physically had to offer to them. They outwent them. I think it's just hilarious. Let me just back up a little bit and say that Jesus went there to rest. By the way, the crowd, outwent him, so when he got there to rest, he couldn't rest. But he never complains. He didn't get out of the ship and go, oh my goodness, I came over here to rest, guys. He didn't look back at the disciples and say, too bad. The Bible says he looked out in the crowd and had compassion on them. Another gospel tells us he had compassion on them, on this crowd that had gathered. And what a loving God. Beat them to the other side. By the way, the disciples had just returned from healing and preaching. They were tired. Jesus had been dealing with this crowd and he was tired. Can I just tell you, sometimes it's good to get apart before you come apart. I mean, a lot of us, working every day and the soccer mom mentality and all the sports and all the school and everything's fixing to start back up. And boy, just be very careful. A lot of times physical and spiritual problems are because we're just physically spent. And Jesus was physically spent. His disciples were as well. And they had every intention of getting apart and getting away to rest. But the crowd followed him. The crowd followed him. Why did they follow him again? Because of what he had to offer them physically. And can I tell you, many people follow Jesus for selfish reasons. Their motives are not always pure. Many follow Jesus for me, for me, for me, for me, and what they can get out of it. Old preachers will get up and preach on TV that if you'll give $1,000, God will give you $10,000. People buy that hook, line, and sinker for some reason because of what they can get from the Lord. Can I tell you, it's not about what we can get, but what we can give to Him. We love Him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, He said. We love Him. Our motive for serving Him should be because we love Him, not because of what we receive. Some people join churches just so they can see what they can get. Some people, again, are part of Christianity just so they can see what they can get. It's all about them. But listen, it's not about us. It's all about Him. Verse 5 says, and Jesus, when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company. The other gospel tells us that when he saw the company, that he had compassion. Two other gospels tells us he had compassion on that great crowd. And then he asked a question of Philip and the disciples there around, and Philip in particular, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This is the question, and this was a test. The Bible says in verse 6 that he might prove him. Because the Bible says he already knew what he was going to do. All right, so the test is, what are we going to do with this crowd to give them? He said, another gospel tells us, he tells his disciples, let's don't send them away. Let's take care of their need. And you kind of illustrate or think in your mind that the disciples gathered around Jesus. And I believe there was just a conversation about what we're going to do. And Jesus says to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip apparently was from that particular area, around Bethesda and around that area where where they were at. And so no doubt Jesus was thinking, hey, you kind of know the area and you kind of would know what it would cost. And I could just see Philip began to, in his mind, think about how much would it cost to feed this crowd? And that word, that penny worth is a day's wages. One penny worth. One penny is a day's wages. So he said it would take 200 penny worth, or 200 of a man's wage, what it would take for him to work for 200 days in order to feed this crowd. And then the word was what? Feed them a little. Not to the full, but feed them a little. So Philip began to figure this out. By the way, in another gospel, it tells us that one of the suggestions was that they send the group away. So Jesus, won't we send them away? And then again, Philip was asked, what's the solution? You know, when we are given a command from God, there's always a solution. Where He leads, He feeds. It doesn't matter. If He gives you a command, then you have the ability through Him to fulfill that command, or else He wouldn't have given you the command. So the disciples began to come up with solutions. And they said, you know, Lord, won't we send them away? Let's just solve the problem and send them away. Let's bury the problem. Let's hide the problem. Let's just get it out of our sight. You know, sometimes just getting rid of the problem doesn't solve it. The crowd would have still been hungry. Philip said, oh, 200 penny worth of money wouldn't buy enough. You know, everybody would just get a little. And can I tell you that money won't solve the problem either? See, people are hungry. And I hope, especially for you Christians here, you can get the illustration that's found here. Everybody with me? You can get the illustration found here. The bread is the bread of life. I'm getting ahead of myself. People are hungry. Money won't solve their problem. And can I tell you this morning, money won't solve your problem. Then Andrew said, hey, we have a little boy here. A little boy, a little lad, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And he says, you know, what is this among so many? What is this among so many? How can this have any impact? So they try to supply the problem by supplying it themselves. In other words, said, hey, won't we look among the crowd and see if there's any food in the crowd? Maybe they have enough to supply their own food. Can I tell you, the world out there does not have the ability to supply what they need to fulfill their hunger. And neither do we. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 barley loaves. By the way, the barley loaves was, barley was the food for the poor. Otherwise, this would have been wheat loaves. Right? I don't know if they had white bread back then. They didn't bleach their flour. I don't know. But this was the food of the poor. This would be more like a, if you think of a granola bar. Not a granola, I'm just talking about the size of a granola bar. And this barley loaves would have been kind of shaped probably that way. And then just break them. They were hard, hard bread like that. The little fishes here are more like little sardines. I mean, you've got to remember now, this was a little boy's lunch. Enough for a little boy's lunch. Not my little boy's, they're exception to the rule. But this little boy just had a little meal. You know, 5 little cracker loaves type deal. And then little sardine fishes to put on those loaves to give it a little taste. Everybody with me? Anybody have sardines? Yeah? You know what we used to eat sardines when I was a kid. And so that's what they were. It was just enough for this little boy. Little boy's lunch. Little boy's supper. Small fishes. Again, the food of the poor. And can I tell you that the disciples failed the test? Philip failed the test. What should he have said? He should have said, Lord, we saw you turn water into wine. Lord, we've seen you turn water into wine. Lord, we saw you heal a crippled man. Right? Lord, we've seen you do these great miracles. Lord, we saw you heal a nobleman's son, and we weren't even there. I mean, Jesus, you can do anything. Just say the word, and the rocks will become bread. Say the word, and, you know, manna will come down from heaven like it did in the Old Testament. But they didn't pass the test. They tried to come up with their own solutions. And Jesus was doing that to prove them, to test them. We know that the true solution was found in the hands of Jesus. That Jesus had the answer to the problem. The Bible says in verse 6, for He Himself knew that what He would do. Can I tell you that again, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. That He was all-knowing when He was here as a man. He was all-knowing. He knew what He would do. He knew the end result. He was deity. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God in the flesh. Knew what He would do. But Jesus had compassion on this crowd. This crowd had stayed all day listening to Him teach and being healed of their diseases. Luke chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 14 talks about Him healing their diseases and preaching unto them. In fact, it said He preached unto them the kingdom of God. He was preaching to them the gospel, preaching to them of the kingdom to come. And they've been listening to this all day. They were hungry and tired from not eating all day. And now the Bible says, the other, again, Paul's descriptions tell us that the day was far spent. It was nigh on the end of the day. And Jesus looks out on this great crowd of 15 or 20,000 people and looked at His disciples and His apostles and said, what are we going to do? These people are hungry. Philip, what are we going to do? 200 penny worth is not enough, Lord. Even for them to have a little. One suggested, hey, let's send them away. Andrew comes to him. He was an industrious man. He was about the work. He said, we can work our way out of this situation. Here's some barter. But what is this among so many? Again, a reminder that Jesus was very compassionate. Can I remind you, too, that time is short? The day is far spent. Jesus' return is soon. And we must feed them. We must supply them that bread of life. You see, the test showed the disciples and the apostles their inability to solve the problem. The test showed them and proved to them their inability to complete the task on their own. But see, in the hands of Jesus, the task could be completed. We see the cure. Look at verse 10. It says, and Jesus said unto them, make them to sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. The other Gospels tell us that they sat down in groups of 50 and groups of 100. That God, Jesus done everything in order. That He's not the author of confusion. We know those Scriptures, right? And the Greek word over in another part gives the inference to us that they sat down in rows, like you would plant garden rows, that there was some order to it. God of order. Like our Sunday school classes, you know. Have some order, right, about it. Sometimes, depends on the kids. So these companies sat down. And then we see a great miracle about to happen. It says in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, those five little loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. The miracle happened in the hands of Jesus. Miracle happened in the hands of Jesus. The disciples did not perform this miracle. The miracle happened in the hands of Jesus Christ. The disciples distributed it. He used the disciples to distribute the bread. And can I tell you that He uses us to distribute the bread of life. He uses us to spread the gospel. He uses us. He could, you know what? He could have just, and bread would have showed up in front of Him. He could have done that, and roast and mashed potatoes could have stood up in front of Him. In fact, He didn't have to do that. He could just say it. In fact, He could just think it. He's Jesus. He's God. He could have done anything, right? Did He have to use His disciples to pass it out? No, He didn't have to do anything. He's Jesus Christ. He can do anything He wants. But he used the disciples to pass it out. But the miracle happened in the hands of Jesus and at the thanking of God for the food. What a great God. He used the disciples to carry out the task, and he uses us to carry out the task of spreading the gospel. It says he sat down there, he distributed the food, and it says, likewise, and the fishes as much as they would. There was enough for everyone. In fact, the next verse says, and when they were filled. Isn't that cool? See, Philip said the 200 penny worth of bread buy enough that everybody could have a little. But you see, when you rely on Jesus, everybody can get full. Because he's all sufficient. He supplies every need. Not to the smallest degree, but to the full degree. Oh, there's so much application here we could take on this morning. Can I say that the bread was sufficient for all? Boy, we could spend some time here. The bread of life is to be distributed by us, but multiplied by the Savior. Everyone with me now? Brother Zellner touched on this yesterday in the class, but it is our job to teach the Word of God, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives understanding. It is our job, it is our task that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to distribute the bread of life, to give the gospel to someone, but it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to bring conviction. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility, and it's His task to bring understanding to the heart and to the mind of the person who is listening. This morning, we give the gospel out, give the bread of life out. It's the Holy Spirit who gives understanding. The bread of life is distributed by us, but multiplied by the Savior. It is our responsibility to go and tell others about Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary, and that He gave His life for us. And it is sufficient for all. They had it till they were filled. Can I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all mankind? That Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen to me this morning. Listen very closely. Jesus Christ died for everyone. Oh, you don't understand, preacher. He died for the elect. He died for everyone. He died for all. You say, preacher, you mean that everybody can be saved? Yes. Isn't that good? Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're ugly or pretty, whether you're black or white, yellow, purple, brown, Jesus Christ gives salvation to all. He is no respecter of persons. Boy. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between a black and a white person in God's eyes. There's no difference between a rich and a poor person in God's eyes. There's no difference in God's eyes between a king and a pauper. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He came and He died for everyone. The bread that they passed out was sufficient for all because it was multiplied in the hands of Jesus. The bread was given to all those who sat down. You can circle this one if you want. Absolutely something to the obedience. Absolutely something in the Christian life to obeying Christ in order to receive the blessing. I wonder if there was some who stood around and said, I'm not going to do what that man says. He's crazy. You know the guys like that, man. I don't care who tells them to do what. They're not going to do it just because somebody told them to do it. But it says, to those who sat down, they distributed the bread to. Boy, we need to be obedient to Christ. Do it His way. Can I tell you again, salvation is His way, not our way. You see, our society today, our pluralistic society today, says all roads lead to heaven. My Bible says the path is narrow, not wide, that leads to everlasting life. My Bible says that Jesus said Himself, I am the way, not the best way, not kind of the way, not part of the way. He says, I am the way. Emphatically, I'm the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's His way or no way. It's either His way for having your sins forgiven and be given a home in heaven, or it's the other way, and the Bible says, for the wrath of God cometh upon you. That hell, the death in hell will cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's either His way, sins forgiven in heaven, or it's your way under the wrath of God under hell. Blessings. Oh, what blessings there are in obeying Jesus Christ. Oh, what blessings there are in doing it His way and not our way. Blessings. By the way, it says when they gathered up the fragments, there was 12 basketfuls left over. Isn't that amazing? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Rolling over, I mean give unto your bosom. The first pastor I worked for years ago, his name was Don Gauntz, and he preached a message on this particular miracle. And he said at the very end of the message, he said, I wonder what happened to those 12 baskets. They had to do something with them. Well, the principle found in the Word of God is you give and it's given unto you. I wonder if that small little boy went home with 12 basketfuls of food. We don't know. Just speculating. But no matter who went home with the food, whether it was the apostles or whether it supplied their needs for the next few days or whatever happened, we just know that God blessed abundantly, that Jesus Christ, that those five loaves and those two fishes in the hands of Christ multiplied and great blessings were had. Lastly, we see the conquest in that men tried to take Him by force and make Him king. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? They wanted to make Him king. They wanted to set the physical kingdom up now. Why? Because they wanted Him to meet their physical needs. Even almost to the end, His apostles were trying to get Him to set up the kingdom now. The physical kingdom now. We want Jesus Christ. We want You to rule and reign over us now. We want You to take and to help us and relieve us of this Roman oppression, this Roman government. Relieve us of this, Lord. We want to set the kingdom up now. And this great crowd, which He could have used as a beginning of a revolution. You know, some people say, well, He was just a movement. He was the revolution. It was the revolution of Jesus Christ. No. He could have. He certainly could have swayed the crowds to have that happen physically. But He didn't, because that was not His purpose here on earth. The Bible says He came on earth to seek and to save that which is lost. It was spiritual. And this great crowd didn't get it. They wanted their physical needs met. We want You to be ruler and reigner over us. They didn't get it. The conquest. As we think about this great miracle, it does us no good to work for Him in the flesh. It does no good for us to come up with our own solutions because He is the solution. You say, preacher, my marriage is this or my marriage is that. My kids are this or my kid is that. And sure, we could come up with some good counsel and say, hey, maybe you should do this or that. But can I tell you that Christ is the solution? In other words, you get closer to Him and He will solve it for you. You put it in His hands and He will bless it. Cast all your care on Him, for He careth for you. And secondly, can I say we should place all that we have in Jesus' hands. When we take our time, listen now and I'm done. We take our time, in other words, our priorities, our time. We take our talent, whether it's singing, as we heard this morning, our talent of teaching or whatever it may be that God's given us. And we take our treasure, our pocketbook, our assets, and we place them in the hands of Jesus Christ. We place them in His hands, then He will bless it. You see, it does us no good to use money to try to get out of our own problem. And it does no good for us to hide the problem. None of those are the solution. But if we'll take what we have, the five barley loaves and the two fishes, and give it to Him, He will take care of the problem. He will multiply the blessings. Many songs running through my mind, but I wrote one down. There's a song, and it's in your hymn book. We won't sing it, but it says, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and we must win it if we'll go in Jesus' name. Is the harvest field now ripened? There's a work for all to do. Think about that. What's the work? Spreading the gospel. Giving the bread of life to others. Taking salvation to others. Giving them the gospel. And if we'll just take and give it, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, will multiply it. Let's all stand.